ChristianCommunity.com.
After, I wanted in our planning of this night, after we heard that passage, to do another song, just after hearing or reading about Jesus' death. And, something that kind of moved us from this reading and this heavy moment into the message, but as I was thinking about it, I thought, maybe just a brief moment of silence or a pause, no matter how awkward that might feel or seem, is probably more appropriate. When something tragic happens, right, we just kind of sit there, stunned and silent and unsure of exactly what to do next. Like it's kind of a numb feeling in those moments. And the fact is, this part of the story is not, if this is the only part of the story of Jesus that we're focusing on, it's not a very happy story. Again, at least not this part of it is. What happened to Jesus was horrible, right? He didn't deserve to be killed, and he really didn't deserve to be treated the way he was even leading up to his death. And sadly, this isn't just some made-up story, right? This is a true story. Today is the day that we call Good Friday because it remembers the good thing that Jesus did when he died for us on the cross, but for Jesus, this was anything but a good experience. And you know why do we take time to focus on such a sad and tragic moment? Because we don't want to forget what he did for us. We just don't want to forget, even though what he went through was terrible. So tonight I just want to mention two things that Jesus said on the cross, one which we heard in this passage and one which we didn't, as we've kind of worked our way towards this day. We've been hearing some of the last sayings of Jesus, the things that he said from the cross, and there's two that we haven't touched on yet on our Sunday morning worship gatherings. So I want to mention those two things tonight and just have us think about those for a moment. And the first one is, he said, "It is finished." It is finished. Like Jesus' death accomplished what God wanted. He had sent Jesus, his only son, into this world to live a perfect life, and Jesus did it. Right? Not once did he ever act in any way that was contrary to the heart of God. He honored God in everything that he did. He lived a perfect life, lived perfectly from start to finish. Even when he was arrested, falsely accused, wrongly convicted, horribly beaten, mercilessly whipped, and agonizingly tortured when they nailed him to a cross, even then, Jesus didn't dishonor God. Even in his suffering, he was perfect. He accomplished exactly what God wanted him to. He lived the perfect life. And in that sense, he could say it is finished because his work was complete. And this was something no one else in history has ever been able to do. No one else in history will ever accomplish it again. Since Jesus was perfect, he could be the perfect sacrifice that God needed him to be for us. And so knowing that he had done everything that God the Father had asked of him and had accomplished it perfectly, he could say those words, "It is finished." And the other thing that he said was this, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." Right? Into your hands I commend my spirit or commit my spirit. And when I hear that, I think, Jesus trusted God the Father through all of this, through all of it. He knew this terrible thing he was going through was all part of God's plan. And through it all, he had this deep, deep trust in God the Father. Now, that doesn't mean it was easy for him. I mean, sure, he was fully divine, the Son of God and all that. But like us, he too was fully human. So this was not easy for him. If it was easy, I don't think we would ever have heard things come from him that we read in other parts of Scripture, like, "Father, if this is possible, let this cup pass me by." Or, my God, why have you forsaken me? This feeling of total abandonment by God, the Father, in his most difficult hour, and yet he trusted God, the Father. Imagine if you could, being in Jesus' place. This is something I was thinking about this week. I try to imagine being in Jesus' situation. Like, how many of us would look at what he was about to go through? Like, he knew he was in for it, right? But how many of us would look at that and think, no problem, I got this? None of us. If I were to try to put myself in Jesus' shoes, I think I could have handled being arrested and mocked. It might be about as far as I would get. Maybe I could have endured a little bit of the beatings, early in the story, anyway. But honestly, I doubt it, because I'm a wimp. I'm pretty sure if I had the power to stop it, I would have. I doubt I would have ever made it past the first lash of the whip, which was flung at him. I mean, think of the strength that it took for him to hold back, like all the fury of heaven, as each of those lashes tore at his body. Jesus could have called on the angel armies of heaven to come and rescue him and fight for him, and they would have done what he asked. Think of what it took for Jesus to resist taking that action. I mean, he could have called down fire from heaven to consume his enemies as he suffered. And when I think of me, I think even if I somehow endured the 39 lashes he took, there's no way I would let a spike be driven through one of my hands or my feet. If it were me in his place, everyone involved in all of this would have been toast long before that moment. If I had the power Jesus had, like, I would have wiped them all out. And I'm guessing most of you would have done the same. But because of Jesus' love for us, he took it all on. He endured all that he was going through, trusting God the Father because he had us in mind. There's a passage in Isaiah. It's Isaiah 53. If you're familiar with it, you know that it's a passage that really talks about the suffering of Jesus and what he went through. It's a picture, a foreshadowing of what he would endure on the cross. But there's some verses in there that are really telling of why Jesus endured what he did. Verse 10 in Isaiah 53 says this, "Yet it was the will of the Lord to crush him. He has put him to grief." Right? How devastating for Jesus to be crushed by his own Father. But, verse 11, "Out of the anguish of his soul he shall see and be satisfied. By his knowledge shall the righteous one, my servant, make many to be accounted righteous, and he shall bear their iniquities." He bore what he did. He took on what he did because he saw what it would accomplish. He knew what it would accomplish for you and for me. Jesus trusted God the Father leading up to the cross, and he trusted him even in the 6 hours of torture that followed while he died on the cross. It's one thing to imagine what Jesus went through and to try and picture enduring that, but also I was thinking, think of what it took God the Father to turn over his very Son to humanity, knowing that this was what they would do to him. God the Father turned his face away and allowed it to take place. He put that iniquity on him, and he did it for our sake. And then Jesus, the Son, endured the cross, trusting the Father because he knew the great good that it would accomplish. Like, God knew the cross would mean salvation for you and for me and for all who believe. This is what we remember. This is what we focus on. This is what we worship Jesus for, because of all that he endured. I want to just give us a moment as we turn our hearts back to a place of worship. And just, I want to encourage you in this moment to just think about, picture, imagine all of the power that Jesus had to rescue himself, to think of himself, to get himself out of the jam that he was in, to avoid everything that he was enduring. And yet, he held it back. He didn't use it. Why? Because of his love for you and his love for me, to make a way that we could be made right with God so that he could bring salvation to those who would believe. Let's just take a moment and express what might be on your heart to him.
Thanks for listening to the podcast of the Portico Church in Oshkosh, Wisconsin. You can find out more about our church at porticocommunity.com.